This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m. I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at BestWestern.com.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
Monday morning. Welcome back to another episode of Uncensored, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, was like that your actual intro?
Or I feel like we're just going intro? Right into it right
I
now.
I was. You just... Sit down, boy. You don't want to get your ass beat on national
Wait
television.
Wait a minute. Go ahead. I want to watch. For those that are listening...
Dan tried
to smack Jacob in the face for the clap.
It was very slow, and I was...
And he got scared. What do
they call that? Not projecting.
And let me then also explain what I would do with this deer antler.
Let me explain. No, I'm just going to say something really graphic. All right,
so welcome to another episode of Uncensored, brought to you by our friends at gunbroker.com. As we keep telling everybody, turkey season is very near, so make sure you got your shotguns and your chokes and your shells ready to go. Don't get surprised opening weekend and not be able to find ammo on the shelves at your local store, because I know that happened here last year.
Get your blinds ready, your vest.
Yeah, your blinds.
Yeah, dig all my stuff out.
Oh, my God. I know a great place for them to buy it. It's timetogowild.com.
Shop Go Wild.
I'm telling you, the Nukem blinds, which I have not ordered mine yet, and I'm hoping they don't run out, but
I might buy one.
They are awesome.
I've used them before. They're good.
Yeah. Paul's is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Paul from Turkey Season.
Yep. TurkeySeason.com. Another shameless plug.
Another .com. Also.
What?
Gunbroker.com.
Oh, yeah.
You can go there for your guns and stuff. Yay.
All right. So we were having a discussion prior to hitting record on this, prior to near fight breakout, about Derek's upcoming marriage, and then what more important than the marriage is the honeymoon.
The fishing trip.
Yeah. we just blew a hole in it there. So,
yeah.
All right. So we're having the conversation of, and you brought this up. Go ahead.
So, well, the conversation was Derek thinks he's going to immediately get divorced because he's going to want to fish all the time. And we're trying to coach him on how to divvy up the time between the wife and the fishing. And you were suggesting going in the morning, and I think you were insinuating that he'd spend most of the evenings with his wife, with his beautiful
wife. Well, he was insinuating that. I just said, you need to set expectations. Yeah.
Have the conversation ahead of time.
Like, if she thinks it's a honeymoon and you think it's a fishing trip, you guys might want to, like, you know.
But what would your expectations be?
This just turned into marriage counseling.
It did. I'm getting really uncomfortable with this whole conversation.
I don't know.
Well, my question was, what would be worse as far as...
Maybe you, every other day.
You know you have to spend time with your spouse or whoever you're on a vacation with. Would it be worse to go out first morning and catch a lot of fish or catch no fish? Meaning, if you catch a lot of fish, are you like, I'm satiated, I can spend the afternoon doing whatever, or the bite is on?
That's not how I work.
No. Or the bite is
if
on.
If the bite's on, I'm fishing.
Yeah, you don't get away from a heater.
Yeah. So then if you get skunked, then you're like, well, maybe the, all the activity's in the evening. So maybe I also need to go back out in the evening.
You also run the risk of, so... She thinks you're going to go waste 2 more hours tomorrow morning and you're not catching anything.
Yeah.
It's all about her, man. You got to have the conversation with her. If she likes to sleep in, wants to sleep in, you got your mornings to yourself.
It helps out that she also enjoys fishing. So, yeah. Like I was telling you guys, like, I think that she will definitely be joining me in some of the fishing. I just don't know that she's going to take the fishing as seriously as I am. And I'm like, I'm not being stupid. Like, I know it's a honeymoon. I know I joked about the fishing trip. I know it's a honeymoon. But I'm still definitely going to try to get as much fishing in as possible. So Jacob and me have been talking about,
yeah, I mean, it's months away,
tips and tricks.
And we're going to the same spot, different part of the island, mm-hmm. in late July. And so of course, having the conversations with you, I'm already getting,
I'm giving you the scouting report too. When yeah, I go down true. There, I'll yeah. be like, this is what was working. This one.
Yeah.
So you're going before him.
Yes.
And you're going,
he's going in May
and you're going July. The Gulf side of Florida. Is that where you're going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Panhandle
area. I don't want to get too specific. Not that it's like some major spot burning, but I just,
people are gonna come find okay. you. Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What you're gonna do is you're gonna do a picnic one night. Like, get that Grubhub and then like a bunch of bottles of wine and be like, okay, let's go down here, and also bring your fishing poles. And that is
pro tip. Bottles of wine reminded me. The Piggly Wiggly down there does 2 for 1. I think it's on like Tuesday. Uh-huh. Bottles. So you gotta scope those okay. out and load up on Tuesday.
Are you okay. a wine drinker?
I'll drink wine. I wouldn't fancy myself a wine drinker.
Well,
but
I know the perfect spot for someone like that, and it's called the Piggly Wiggly.
Do you enjoy wine? But
not so much. You should check out the Piggly Wiggly.
Well, what's funny, though, is this is a little island. There's not much. The Piggly Wiggly, which is not a normal Piggly Wiggly like most people expect to be a grocery store. It is a...
If you want your normal Piggly Wiggly experience, you got to get it here.
30 minutes to the other one.
Yep.
But yeah, it's like it's a large convenience store that also sells wine 2 for 1 on Tuesday.
Very nice.
Yeah, dude, I'm jealous you're going when you're going, but I'm also extremely pumped you're going, because now I have a fellow. I know you're going to get converted to being in love with St. George. So
there goes the spot burn. Right,
it
there.
Doesn't matter.
It's big.
It's.
I've
not.
Talked about it 100 yeah. times on this show.
Nah, it is what it is. Yeah, no, it's exciting. I mean, I got to do some saltwater about that time last year when we went to PCB, and completely different animal there, but. I got enough of it. I got a taste of saltwater fishing and surf fishing, and I enjoyed it. So I'm excited to go forward again and hopefully a little better luck this time. Not to say I didn't have bad luck last time. But
the really good thing about this area is it's a little bit more refugee, mm-hmm. especially.
Yeah, I mean, there's the state park right up there. Yeah. It's not extremely populated. It sounds like it's not super touristy, whereas like PCB, you know, I had 1 to 2 hours, depending on how early I'd wake up in the morning to get down on the beach, and then everybody starts coming down there with their little beach wagons and their kids and ruins it.
Derek, so. That's going to be you in 5 years.
No.
Old beach wagon.
Old Derek Jr. and Derek Sr.
Yeah, then you really got to think about when you're fitting in those fishing trips. Trust me, buddy.
Well, I'll be raising them to be fishing also.
What I would recommend is raise your kids to sleep in. Because then you still
then
keep
I can
your
go fish
3 hours in the morning. Because my kids wake up at 6:30 and I'm out there, you know, on cast 10 and daddy, and running down the beach to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've had enough experience on various fishing trips with family, friends, with kids and stuff like that. Like, I know how fishing with kids works. It's you yeah. get like 1 or 2 cast in, and then the rest of the time you're baiting someone else's line or taking a fish off or whatever, which is still fun in its own way.
Letting them reel it in is
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I want to give you a pro tip on this. I figured this out a couple weeks ago. We went pond fishing. So this might not work out for the ocean, but okay, get the worms. They catch the bluegill. Give me the bluegill. I catch the bass and the catfish with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep cranking in the bluegill like real quickly with those little bitty worms. And then they kind of just fall right off. They can do that. And then they give them to me. And it's just like a whole little.
It's an assembly circle line.
Yeah, assembly line.
It's how you turn a worm into a giant catfish.
Yeah. And it works out for them.
Did you all catch bass on little bluegill?
I didn't.
Well, so I've read a couple books about like lunker bass. One of them is literally called lunker, and that is the bait of choice for huge bass. Is a live bluegill that you hook kind of like under the dorsal fin, and let them go do it for you.
We have before. I just didn't that trip.
Hmm.
It's a small little pond. Yeah. It works. Keep hitting.
I've gotten skunked on the pond so far. I've only fished it a couple times.
I think it's too cold.
Hasn't turned on yet. I don't know. We've had enough stable temperature days.
We have, but then it gets really cold again for like a night or two. Yeah. And I don't know if that's enough to really stunt it back. I mean, keeping on the topic of fishing and something we talked about last week, I got the boat out this last week for the first time after it sitting all winter, air quote.
You wish you had your Garmin, didn't you?
Absolutely not. Everything worked fine.
Oh, well, yeah. Should we call him Mom or Dad? Yeah. He's over here worried.
Oh, Mom Dan.
Stuck on the lake.
Oh, make sure you take your Garmin satellite phone that requires a monthly subscription that I don't have turned on right now because I only turn it on when I go out west.
I think I kept mine on Amanda's suggestion, so if I ever run out somewhere.
Is it in your, you keep it in your truck or something?
No, like I keep the subscription on.
Oh.
No. Oh,
that's,
I thought you
that's
meant
too
like
much money for me to keep it on. It's
a little pricey.
Worst case scenario, if something goes wrong with the boat in the lake, I'll just troll or paddle back to where I started and keep going.
Well, that's a busy lake, too. It's not like you're so remote.
Yeah, we're not out in the middle of nowhere. But, yeah, everything went great. I mean, I don't know how far into this we want to get, but last year, this time, when I was putting the boat in the water, I had all kinds of issues. And that's a whole long story. I don't know if we want to get into it or not. So I was a little afraid going into it this year after, like, the boat sitting in the garage all winter.
The gremlins come to life.
Yeah, and, like, I did a better job of winterizing it. Some people would probably freak out if they heard my winterizing process. Like, some people would say it's just probably not enough, but also we just don't get a winter here, so I'm not as concerned about it.
I beg
you. You keep it in your garage, don't you?
I keep it in the garage. The big thing is that I had to, and it was the issue last year, was just making sure the batteries are cycled through properly throughout the winter. And this year what I did is I just kept it plugged in, and that seemed to work just fine.
The old Dick trickle charge.
Yep. So.
I get it now.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it went turned over just fine. I mean, it's a Mercury. Anyone that does much with boat motors or knows anything about Mercuries, they know that at least around the time, the year range that my Mercury is, they don't really like sitting for a long time and then running again. So I definitely had to let it idle there on the trailer for quite a while before it got to where it was firing sufficiently. But yeah, launched just fine. All the electronics work, motor worked great. We got out on the main part of the lake and kind of ran it wide open for a little bit just to
flush it out.
Yeah. And yeah, I put stabilizer and everything in it the last time I took it out of the water last fishing season. So everything, but yeah, it worked great. And I wasn't even really expecting to get on fish. It was mostly just to make sure everything on the boat was working fine, and we caught two whole crappie. Weren't keepers.
Yeah. It was like 8 inches or something.
Yeah. But, and I've been hearing that from a few people that have been fishing Taylorsville this year so far, is they're saying that there's just not a lot of big crappie coming out of there yet this year.
Yeah, I a feel lot of like it's one. Gotten hammered, mm-hmm. and I don't feel like it's talked about a lot. I mean, they say it's fishing good still, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. They've been smaller the last couple of years we've caught them out there.
There was a guy, well, two guys on another boat, and for a little while we were kind of fishing a little close to them, close enough to where I could see what they were pulling in. And they were consistently getting on them, but nothing bigger than what I caught. I mean, just little fish.
Hmm.
We did some trolling. That didn't really work out. And then we just went to the old-fashioned throwing little jig heads. I was throwing...
I just start drinking old fashioned.
Just out on the boat.
We just went to the old fashioned.
Out on the boat on a Friday morning drinking old fashioned.
Well, I am I'm trying. I got a honeydew project this afternoon, or I guess tonight, of picking up some stuff at Tractor Supply for the garden. But I'm going to try to get out to the pond, because what happened last year, and I think I mentioned this here the other day, we had a little warm spurt in February. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way they're going to turn on early. Like, this is just a fluke. The temperature's going to drop back down. It's too unpredictable. And I missed the pre-spawn. Like, I just totally missed it at the pond. And it, like, if anybody fishes a pond regularly, you hit the pre-spawn, you can pretty much yank every big fish out of it in that time period. Like, you can just hit them easy.
Mm-hmm. How do you know when it is?
They're in shallow. They're aggressively biting. It's like every cast, every other cast, you're getting something.
Okay.
It's a magical time of the year.
But it's like now-ish?
Well, so that's the thing. It's like I kind of missed it last year when it did this little warm-up in February. So I want to get out there again and try
to fish. Wait, so you think last year it was in February?
No, I think it was like early first couple weeks of March.
Yeah. Because I was supposed later. It's supposed to get back down into the 30s midweek this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like only at night, I think.
No, during the day there's a storm coming through, and I think on Wednesday it'll be
like... They're saying it's supposed to be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Wednesday's like supposed snow? To be...
No, ice as bad? In like tornado.
Oh.
We'll see. I might go shed hunting.
I did have a nice buck on camera with
still holding
one
antler?
Side. One side.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, I got to get out there. Turkey scout.
Yeah, because I was looking at, you know, the weather for this week when I could try to get the boat out again this week, and I saw that like Wednesday's kind of showing some weather. So I was like, Wednesday probably won't be a good day. So I'm thinking Thursday, but Wednesday I might go shed hunt depending on how bad this weather gets.
How do you know, okay, and when they're on the trail camera, how do you know if it's a doe or it's a buck that's lost the antlers?
You can usually see the
pedicles.
The circle.
Oh. Even like maybe a month or two from now?
As it gets closer to summer, it becomes a little harder to tell. At that point, you're kind of just looking more at how the deer's built.
Right.
It does become a little more difficult as the summer goes by. But, like, right now, early spring, when, you know, they're dropping antlers, you can usually still see pedicles or whatever.
Pedicles.
I believe that's what it's called. The pedicle, where the antler grows
pedicle.
Out of. Pedicle.
Pedicle.
I'm sure I'm wrong. Pedicle. Don't want to say I'm wrong.
Somebody will correct you.
Yeah. That'll be the YouTube short is you.
Yeah. Just getting blasted.
Yeah.
For saying that.
So I was reading over the weekend that Louisville, like all over the country, it's been mild winters. And they were saying Louisville, this is like one of the top 10 mildest winters on record. And I don't exactly know what that means. I assume that means average temperature. I don't know if they're like saying like amount of snowfall or number of days below freezing or whatever. I'm guessing it means average temperature. What do we think that's going to do for the turkey population?
I don't know that it's really going to have much of an impact on it. What I've heard has more of an impact on the turkey season is how the late spring into summer is, and especially how wet it is.
Because that's when the babies are out.
That's when the poults, I mean, they're super small. They don't have the insulating protective feathers that a more mature turkey has. So when they're hatching and they're really, you know, vulnerable, if you have a real wet spring, early summer, even if it's to us as humans doesn't seem very cold, like these birds go very hypothermic very quickly and die. And then also I hear that like a very wet early spring while they're still nesting can like break down and destroy the eggs before they even have a chance to hatch. So as far as weather is concerned, again, probably wrong. Someone will probably tell me I'm completely wrong. But from what I've heard, the weather impact on turkey population is more in the spring and early summer.
So there's not like a big die-off in
the
winter and cold winters?
I'm sure some do, especially if they're already like either on the tail end of their life or if they have some kind of other issue, you know, it's going to kind of natural selection. But, I mean, all your turkeys that are out walking around right now are fairly established, grown turkey that are pretty hardy.
Because I saw like upper Midwest, like upper Wisconsin, Minnesota areas had like top 5 mildest winters, and I assume that'll really help the deer population.
Probably.
Maybe.
So
I bet all the ice fishermen are pissed.
Yeah, I know. I've heard multiple people up north talking about how it's been a pretty bad ice fishing season.
I don't know if that translated to turkey success in the spring.
What's that going to do to our walleye timing?
I don't know.
What do you mean? What's that mean?
Well, if there's warmer temperatures, water in the lake warms up quicker.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's the same thing with me talking about February with the bass spawn here. It's the collective water temperature getting to a point. So if we have more warm days in February and they have more warm days in February, does that great late May fishing happen mid-May?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, especially on Erie, because Erie is very shallow.
Very shallow.
Whereas like Superior's super deep. So
I haven't talked to you all about this, but you all know how I think. I looked at smallmouth guides for that Friday when we go up for the walleye trip. Because you all know last year we were out there. You all weren't on my boat. Were we on different boats?
No.
Me and Dan were on one together, and you were on a different
boat. And our captain and co-captain each caught a 4-plus approaching 5-pound smallmouth. Just and football. Like, don't care.
Yeah.
Like, dang it. Because they want the walleye. They just like it's nothing. They're irritated that they caught it. And I'm seeing that, and I'm like, I want those. Walleye's good, but I want those.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's too expensive. Yeah. It's too expensive, and I don't know what I can do from the shore, but there's some big smallmouth in here.
Take the bass boat.
Thought about that, but
No, I wouldn't.
I said that jokingly. If we get a windy day, Lake Erie is not the place for that boat.
No. I took my John boat out on Lake Michigan years ago, and that was frightening.
Yeah.
We didn't even really go that far out, but took it out 2 days. One day, the lake was glass, and I was like, oh, this isn't bad at all. And then the next day, we had that, like, really good walleye chop that you want, and that's great when you're in a 14-foot John boat with a 9.9 that hardly runs.
Yeah. Probably won't take that boat.
You want to talk about time I should have had a Garmin?
Capsize.
Yeah, you can't use the Garmin if you're under the lake.
Are we out of time?
No, we still got 10 minutes.
Okay, good. I'm going to get into something that is probably really stupid, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Okay. We're talking about going to Yellowstone in 2025, right? And my sister and her husband
taking the RV, I'm guessing.
No.
Oh, no?
No, that just adds to me. I don't want to do...
That's a big trip.
Yeah, I don't know if between Tim's work and everything, if we can swing that long.
Because it's so much longer to drive.
Yeah,
because
you're spending like 3 days. And then if I'm going to do the RV, then I'm going to want to stop at like a bunch of different places. And I really probably...
You can make it there if you just like, you know, eastbound and down, so to speak, in two days. But if you all, especially if you're taking the RV, you're probably going to want to stop along the way and do things.
It's not an RV where the kids can get out and roam in.
Yeah, this is a trailer. We don't have an RV.
Yeah.
Kids as a whole.
That would be a different thing if you could just, if it was an RV and the kids can run around while you're driving.
Yeah. I really want to camp, but I don't think we're going to. Okay, Yellowstone. I was talking to my sister, and I was like, I'm not going to just go there and park and see Old Faithful and get back in the car. Like, this is going to be... I want to do some hikes and this and that, whatever.
And I want to touch a bison.
No. Okay. Well, we kind of go into this. And then she's like, well, aren't there bears and stuff? And I'm like, yes, of course. And she was like, we better bring a gun. We're going to have to shoot one. And I was like, ma'am, no, you cannot do that. And she was like, why? And I was like, that's completely illegal. You cannot be shooting a bear. And she said,
I think you can in self-defense.
Okay, well, so this is the question.
Pepper spray.
Because I was like, we'll take like the bear spray and the horn, or if we really decide to do this, like we'll take these things, right? And I was like, you just can't be shooting a bear. And she was like, well, if a bear is around me, I'm really not giving her justice. I hope to God she doesn't watch this. I'm like, if a bear's around me, I'm gonna shoot it. That wasn't her, but it is today.
Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face,
right? And I was like, I almost would rather get killed by a bear than shoot it, because I feel like the news would be like, this girl from Southern Indiana went up there and she just tried to touch a bear and it killed her. And like, really, it just kind of like...
Yeah, step ones, don't try to touch the bear.
Attacked me. So like, if you go to Yellowstone, are you taking a gun? And like, is the gun like your last defense here? Like, what's happening?
I don't know if carrying in Yellowstone proper is legal.
You can. I Googled it.
Yeah, okay. You can carry in any national park.
Look up your own laws.
any national park you can.
You can carry.
Yeah. Just be bear aware. I mean, that's the big thing. Right? Don't do anything that's going to attract a bear to you.
Yeah.
Beer. That's the combination of a deer and a bear. It's a beer. That's what beer. When we were deer and bear hunting in Tennessee, we were jokingly calling it a beer hunt. But anyways, no, I mean, they're, for the most part, going to be very timid.
Yeah, this creatures. Is a non-problem, they don't want to
mess
right?
with you. Like,
I wouldn't say
it's a non-problem, but also it's not worth losing tons of sleep over.
I don't know about Yellowstone, you know, but I would say if you were, like, camping in the backcountry overnight, I'd probably have a gun. If I'm just doing a two-hour hike on a very well-established trail, I wouldn't have a gun.
Okay.
Well, and if there's a ton of bear activity, like a dangerous amount of bear activity, they will close that trail down.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
Because they don't want to. They're not everywhere, either. I've spent 2 separate weeks in 2 separate parts of the United States actively looking for bear and only ever got close to one.
That's true, but Yellowstone, man, people feed the bears.
Yeah, and that's their own.
They get used to people. They get used to people.
This is the thing. When I'm not actually hunting, I will see the thing I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So if I'm not hunting for bear, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I spent 9 days on the ground in Colorado. Granted, it's black bear, not a grizzly, but, I mean, they're both out there in Yellowstone. But, like, I spent 8-9 days on the ground in Colorado in the backcountry looking for bear and got close to one. And then spent the better part of a week in the mountains in Tennessee also looking for black bear and found hot bear sign one day. Like, they're just, they're not squirrels running around everywhere.
Have you ever heard of anyone shooting a bear in Yellowstone, though?
No. I mean, not
I have to imagine it's happened.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know that, like,
I feel like I've heard of people.
What trouble did they get in?
I think if it's self-defense,
you
that's
really
the whole
have to prove self-defense, especially that, with grizzlies. Like,
and not provoking it initially.
Yeah.
If you walk up on it and you're not trying to get out of there, you're screwed.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, just
I feel like I've heard of people killing cougars in maybe not Yellowstone. I always get
down
Yellowstone
at the local
and
waterhole.
Yellowstone cougars? On the other. What's the other big park? Not Yellowstone. What's the other
Glacier?
Big one?
Teton?
Teton?
No, it's
Yosemite.
Yosemite. Right, Yellowstone and Yosemite mixed up.
Because they start with a Y.
And they're just, to me, they're just big out west parks, you know.
Have you been to a Western
National?
This
is the thing.
God. The scale is incredible.
We want to do, like, Glacier and Yellowstone together.
Yeah. Be sweet.
I don't know. This is all, like, well, we saw her podcast a year ago, and she said, she talked about this. It was
Didn't Pierce Brosnan just get arrested for jumping the fence at, I think, Yellowstone and, like, going out into a geyser field? He didn't, like, this is, could be all made up, but I'm pretty sure.
TMZ.
But I'm pretty sure he had to go to court, and they had him, like, in court, federal trespass, just do Pierce Brosnan Yellowstone.
Moral of the story, I still think you should buy a judge and carry it with you.
Okay. He posted a photo of himself in what authorities claimed was a restricted and dangerous area of the National Park's Hot Springs.
Hot Springs.
It's like he was trying to melt himself.
Was that in Yellowstone?
Yep. Yep. This is the picture. Oh. There it is.
That's a good looking
He
man.
Looks very, like, he's got his, like, hat, and he's like,
oh my gosh.
I am looking very Western.
What a ding dong.
TV shows are ruining the world.
It's Pierce Brosnan. He was cool before TV shows and.
Was he?
I don't like when people try to look sexy like that, though. It just irritates
me. He doesn't try to look sexy. He just is sexy.
He exudes sex. I get it.
I wonder if that he's got, like, a little social media manager that's, like, prodding him to
turn left.
Yeah.
Stare off into the distance.
You should go out here. And, yeah.
I would never.
When we get off the podcast, I'll show you a clip of a guy jumping the fence at the Grand Canyon that I found amusing.
Oh, man.
He dies.
No.
Oh.
Moral of the story is be bear aware.
Yeah.
Be bear aware.
I say my vote is bear spray, but if somebody feels comfortable carrying a gun, make sure they are qualified to carry and shoot that gun.
Bear
so
spray.
That you don't get shot in the process of them trying to shoot a
What's
bear.
What's that saying? It's better to get judged by 12 than carried by bears.
No. Nobody sure ever said that.
I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
What? What does that mean?
It's like a saying. It's like not a saying. Like, it's better to go to court and be alive than be carried by. I think it's better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better to go to... See, now the joke's lost all meaning.
He said carried by a bear.
Carried by bears. By six by bears Paul, out into the woods.
By Paul Bears.
Paul Bears. Oh, that was better.
That was really good. That was better.
I would just heavily qualify the person that's going to be carrying said firearm so that they don't hear like a possum or something running through the woods and pow, pow, pow.
I think out of all of this, I would probably be the most qualified. Rational. No. To carry a gun and, like, that just doesn't feel okay.
Think about Brad's bear trip, how many times he had to shoot the bear with the 30-30.
That was a black bear.
Yeah, and that was a little bear.
We, like, traumatized all the kids. Like, Mom shot this bear.
Well, that's true. I've been out in the woods looking for bears 3 times. I forgot about mine and Brad's hunt.
Blocked it out.
Yeah, it's not that I blocked it out.
The savage... It was a savage pack out.
It was just a really quick turn and burn trip that was mostly spent packing a bear up.
That was mostly burning?
Yeah. I got very close to a bear that day. A whole lot.
You're not doing any spring bear hunts, are you?
Mm-mm. Nope. I'll just turkey hunt. Just turkey hunt in the spring and fishing.
Yeah.
Here in Tennessee, hopefully. Probably not much in Tennessee. Probably maybe one or two quick little trips down.
I know you get multiple states hunting licenses or do multiple states draws. Kentucky's coming up. Do most states do their hunting licenses and draws happen in the spring? Is it like you can or is it all spread out through the
everywhere's year? A little different. I mean, your western states, a lot of your like applications for fall hunts, your applications are due around this time, anywhere between like January and March, April, give or take. Arizona for me is always the first one. You know, building Arizona points, and Arizona is like probably, as far as I know, is one of the first states.
What are you trying to get there?
I'm putting in for elk tag there, but I mean, I'm not going to draw that tag for another handful of years. Right now, I'm just building points, but that's always like, I know it's the new year when I go buy my Arizona preference point.
But it feels hot. Are elk in hot places?
Arizona has a lot of mountainous alpine
areas. Arizona has Grand Canyon out.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Geography.
That's what I'm like with Yellowstone and Yosemite. They're out there somewhere.
Start with a
lie. But like we talked about last week too, like some states, Tennessee being one, those states are like their license are good for a year from time of purchase. So that's why I'm going to be...
Isn't that how North Carolina's was?
That's how their fishing license was. I don't know how their hunting license are. I imagine it'd be the same.
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I still have time on my fishing license, though. So if anybody wants to go to North Carolina and fish...
That means I do, too, then, because didn't we buy it at the same time?
If you bought a year, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
I think I just bought a 14-day or whatever.
Yeah.
I've fished twice, and I think it covered the cost.
But I think I'm going to North Carolina maybe in April to fish with my dad.
There you go.
Kayak fish with my dad.
On that lake?
On that lake.
Is that like a mountain lake, like real clear and deep?
No, it's a man-made lake that I don't think they dredged the bottom at all, so it was just all...
Flooded timber,
and yeah.
It's probably still going to be really clear, though.
Well, I don't think anyone in the neighborhood really fishes it, so I bet we could fish in it. And I'm going to scout the area and see if I can talk him into doing something a little bit more adventurous, but he's getting old. I think I told the story the last time we went fishing with him on Floyd's Fork, and I put him on my kayak. And this was like in the winter. This was, I think, in December, and we were just going to do like a float, and I put him on my kayak, and I'm like, you cannot tip my kayak. He tipped it within 5 minutes.
And famous last words.
I knew, I'm like, you cannot tip it, but just in case, let's put another pair of warm clothes in the kayak. And we go around like this first little turn, and there's like a fallen tree strainer. And I paddle around it, and I look behind, and he's sideways in the tree, like going over. And I get out, and I'm catching my fish finder and my battery box and like everything floating down. Get him up, and he changes on the bank. And then 5 minutes later, he flips again. And that was like his last pair of dry clothes. I'm like, all right, that's the end of this trip.
Well, at least there's no current on a lake. That you have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, because the last time we were thinking about doing the dicks, but paddling up that current at the end.
You'd have been dragging.
Did you go? You on almost the trip had to
drag
us?
Me.
Yeah. It right at the end. You're paddling upstream.
Headwind against the current.
And you look at the shore, and the shore's just barely moving. And you cannot stop or you'll lose ground.
I got a spot that I duck hunt at that's very similar. Yeah. It's very easy to get into because you just go with the current. But then to go out, you're just fighting the current when you're the most tired.
And it's like if you start cramping, you just have to paddle through the cramp. Because if you stop, you just lost 50 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fun. All right, gang. Well, we're going to have to shut it down. As we said at the beginning, make sure you check out gunbroker.com. Check out all the new stuff from SHOT Show will be hitting there, too. So it's not just used old firearms that are on there. You can find the new stuff as it's popping up, dropping from SHOT Show. Get loaded up for spring turkey season, and we'll see y'all next week.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.